Page 16. A nature cruise through northern Canada. In the icy Arctic, not everything is frozen. We were bobbing gently in water off Cobourg Island in the Canadian High Arctic way too early in the morning, watching thousands upon thousands of thick-billed murres cling to impossibly high cliffs. This is one of the Arctic's best bird colonies, with murres, northern fulmars, guillemots, kittiwakes. The birders were going crazy. And then we spotted the bear. He was healthy and young, maybe 3 or 4 years old. Perched on a thin, crumbly ledge, he watched the birds intently, mouth open, teeth showing as birds flew past. He was raiding the nests for chicks. Our bear stepped gingerly from rock to rock and at one point did a bodybuilder pull-up to reach a higher shelf. In 30 trips up here, I've never seen a bear in a bird colony, said Matthew Swan, owner of Adventure Canada, the company running our cruise ship, Clipper Adventurer. Disastrous explorations. And this was just the start of our 9-day trip through the high Arctic. Our cruise took us to tiny, remote Inuit villages, along with all the infamously disastrous sites of failed 19th century polar explorations. First came Assorted Islands, where all those explorers met such awful ends. There was the expedition of Englishman John Franklin, who was looking for the Northwest Passage. When he failed to return, it was the unsuccessful rescue missions that actually wound up mapping a good portion of the high Arctic. As for Franklin and his men, it's thought that lead poisoning played a part in their deaths. Lead was used then as a solder for canned food. There was also an American expedition, which failed because the American military ships didn't leave supplies as planned. Only 7 of the original 26 were still alive when rescue finally arrived. Northern communities. The sad stories of the high Arctic didn't end with the expeditions. Grease Fjord, Canada's most northerly community, today is a thriving village of 135 people with a school, medical facility, telephone, and internet. But back in the early 1950s, when the Canadian government wanted to stake a claim to the Arctic and needed residents to do it, several Inuit families were relocated with promises of good hunting and the ability to return home in 2 years if they wished. None of this turned out to be true, and the families lived for 2 years in tents in that awful climate, just 960 miles from the North Pole. The government eventually made a settlement payment and a formal apology, and today the locals greet the occasional tourist, eager to demonstrate their clothing, their food, their way of life. Watch for icebergs. Eventually on our trip, we hit nearly 80 degrees north latitude. And had there been time, we probably could have sailed right to the North Pole. We didn't start seeing serious icebergs, much less the thickly packed ice I remembered from a previous trip in the 1990s, until heading south toward Greenland. Finally, we had scenery that looked properly Arctic. Cold, windswept, rocky, desolate, gray. And full of the most fantastic icebergs, with sloping curves, sharp towers, and slanted shelves, often cut with artful striations of trapped rock and dirt. We wove our way through them to the beach of Cap York, coming close enough to see pockmarks where seawater had eaten into the ice. In the next few days, we visited other communities and other islands, and we walked to the tongue of a glacier where 2 young Inuits on our staff did a thrumming throat song in an echoing ice cave. Ilulissat. But the highlight of the trip was the town of Ilulissat. Ilulissat's crowning glory is the Jacobshavn Glacier, the world's fastest and most active glacier. It creeps at a rate of 4.5 miles every year, both toward the ocean and back again, and 18 to 20 tons of ice calve off it daily. Though fishing, especially shrimp, is the town's main occupation, there's a boardwalk that goes from the edge of town through the tundra right up to that huge mass of ice. The boardwalk alone is beautiful, lined with fluffy Arctic cotton and endless crowberries, which in August are ripe for the picking. At the end, you can take trails up low rocks to an incredible overlook, sloping frozen mountains that heave slowly back and forth with unseen currents. I decided to head for Ilulissat's famous musk ox burger. The meat was tender, with a hint of game that gently hits the roof of your mouth and, like one of our Inuit friends said, speaks of the land. Disko Bay. We wound up the day with a zodiac tour of Disko Bay's icebergs, threading our way through a white soup of bits, big and small. Dave, our boat driver and guide to all things frozen, grabbed a chunk of clear glacier ice for drinks, holding it up so his face was fractured by its crystal facets. And then we heard a loud crack, followed by a rumble, followed by a huge splash. The entire side of a house-sized iceberg had collapsed, disintegrating as it fell into the water in a gray cloud of ice crystals that looked like smoke. The largest chunk rolled, leaving its smooth, translucent green underside sparkling in the sun. That night, we toasted the berg, the burger, and our entire trip with glacier cocktails of crystalline chunks that had once fallen as snow. Vocabulary focus. Gingerly. Disastrous. Assorted. Thriving. Desolate. Striation. Calve. Disintegrate. Translucent. Crystalline.